So imagine it's 1993, and you're in a nearby alternate reality, similar to our world, but slightly different. And you're down in Colts Neck, New Jersey. Maybe it's a summer day, maybe somewhat overcast, maybe it'll rain later. And you pull up to the Weasel Village Mall and get going to the parking lot with all the strange concrete structures. And you've heard there's a new attraction open called Night Station. And you enter the mall, and it's an amazing place. It has many more features architecturally. There's actually a much older indoor amusement park there called Wolfmellow that has sort of in decline at this point. It was a company that was very that was doing well in the 70s and into the 80s. There was even a rumor that they were going to buy the Walt Disney theme parks in this alternate reality, of course. This is all fiction. This is a fictional concept. But that one has kind of fallen into a bit of disrepair and is not doing well. So these two guys came up with an idea for an attraction called Night Station, which is a small indoor dark ride system where you go on these train rides, right? And very much inspired by the Disney dark rides. And there even was a somewhat similar dark ride in the Wolfmellow indoor theme park called the Wolfmellow Express, which was very much like the Disney rides, which is that it's a little train that's on a track, and you go inside a darkened space. And in this case, like a lot of the Disney rides, think Peter Pan's Magic Flight, or It's a Small World, or The Haunted Mansion, or Pirates of the Caribbean, Horizons, what have you. You go through at sort of a, at a set speed. You're going through, and you experience these different rooms and different, audio animatronic characters and scenes and things. And then the ride's over, and you come back. So the Wolfmellow Express, which was, I think, is still there, but I think at this point in 1993 is closed for repairs. It's not really operational anymore. That the guys that created Night Station were thinking, we love this concept of going in from the real world, waiting in line, and then getting getting into this little vehicle and going into this interior world and the experience you can have. But they said there's got to be so much more you can do with this idea, right? It shouldn't be just the same thing over and over again. What if it was customized? What if, as sort of a core concept, every time you wrote it, it was a little bit different, right? So just think, even to the point of various kinds of scenery that could, lift up into the ceiling and then come down. Characters that could sort of rotate on a base, and so different characters at different times, different lighting effects, different soundtracks. You could imagine that if there was a cyclical or random element in the way the ride worked, right? Every time you rode, it would be different. It would not be the same thing every time, and that would add so much to the experience, especially being in a shopping mall as opposed to some sort of resort destination like Walt Disney World, right? How are you going to get people to repeat customers, right? Most of the time people go into a mall are from the local area, and they go to the mall, maybe they'll ride on Night Station or the Wolfmellow Express, once or twice, and then why do I need to ride on it again? I've already seen it. So being that this business, this attraction, Night Station, is that's really their main business, is getting people to ride, go on the ride and pay to go on the ride. They couldn't just have it be the same thing over and over again. So, and I think that they were saying it does seem that, especially with sort of the newer computer technologies that were available in 1993, to have it all sort of computer controlled and have these various mechanisms that can change the scenes and change the rooms in many different ways, could keep the ride fresh and make it something that people would want to ride over and over again. And then also adding something of a game aspect to it. So, for example, there might be certain things that certain items or objects or themes within the ride that would be very rare, that maybe a certain character would only be seen like one out of every 100 rides. And if you saw it, then that would be like amazing, and you could record it. Maybe they could give you a little book to keep track of your riding, because it would be possible to do something where you could, you know, take pictures inside the ride. But I don't think that digital photography was really quite there in 93. I know, yeah. And having a film camera would be a bit burdensome. So it might be a little, like, logbook that you can, you know, if you see these certain things on the ride. And it would be sort of... it would be possible that... there might be some way to sort of automate and give you sort of a ticket or a receipt at the end showing the things that you experienced on the ride. I'm not sure about that. We'd have to sort of see about that concept. But anyway, this is the idea of Night Station, right? A business, an attraction inside this shopping mall that is this sort of an evolution of the Disney dark rides, and which themselves were... an evolution of sort of fun houses, haunted houses, things like that in the past, right? I know in Britain they're known as ghost trains, right? And there could also be different themes. Like you could adapt the ride so that you could have different instead of they would almost be like different movies, like different rides you go on with different themes. And they could, right? So that would be another way to encourage people to go on the ride. Would be there would always be these new rides in development, and to install a new ride, they would, you know, swap out all the scenery and perhaps create whole new rooms in the back area to have these new kind of experiences. So it would be a constantly evolving thing. So each ride would be different, and then there would be premieres of a new theme, a new named theme, a new named journey, right? So I think this was the idea of Night Station, and the Weasel Village Mall was like the premier, first location where it had gotten to that point. So this is the scenario of Night Station as it kind of developed. Now for me, I'm Frank Edward Nora, your host. My main project is the Overnightscape Underground, right? A radio station inside a book. And it's a project I've been working on for a long time now. My show, The Overnightscape, I recently celebrated 20 years of doing The Overnightscape. And that, when I started that in 2003, it was just an internet radio show. There was no podcasting. And I jumped on board podcasting as soon as it started. And then a few years later, it developed into this podcast network, so to speak, known as The Overnightscape Underground. And it's continued to this day, and we have a massive archive, over 13,000 hours. That's over a year and a half of audio. And it's all inside this book. The idea is that the book represents the container for the entire project, right? So recently, not even 2 weeks ago now, my father, Frank Ralph Nora, who's appeared on The Overnightscape many times, passed away. And, you know, as part of the, you know, that the process of sort of wrapping my mind around the whole thing, I was thinking, you know, life is short, as they say, and I only have so much more time here. And, you know, I really need to, you know, I think I've been very disorganized in the way that I've sort of managed my internal mental to-do list, so to speak, so that Whereas The Overnightscape Underground is by far my main project, I've had all these kind of side projects that I've allowed to sort of linger in the back of my mind, right? And, you know, because of this recent process, and I really realized and came to the conclusion that I really need to... hold on a sec. These construction noises in the background are actually quite appropriate as I'm sort of... building a new paradigm for myself here, if I may use that term, paradigm. So what I'm trying to say is I really came to the conclusion that I need to devote all my energies. And again, I have a full-time job and I, you know, have other things I need to do in life, but all my spare time, my hobby, if you want to call it that, I really need to devote my time and energy to the Overnight Escape Underground. And all these side projects, these aspirations I've had in the past of all these different things, writing science fiction novels, creating virtual universes, and making music and all this other stuff, you know, to be realistic, there's only so much time in the day and so much time left to ponder my own mortality and things like that, that I realized that I need to focus my efforts exclusively on the Overnight Escape Underground, and that these side projects really have to sort of fall by the wayside, and I have to stop. Not that I was particularly intending on doing anything with them, but they're sort of sticking around, lingering in my mind, and none more so than Night Station, right? I mean, this has been the strangest, the weirdest thing in my creative life, this whole Night Station thing. It's occupied a space of nearly being manifest so many times, yet never really rising above the surface to really become anything. So I think the other projects like music or books or whatever, I'm like, I can just say, listen, I'm not going to pursue those things. I'm going to focus my efforts on the Open Landscape Underground. But Night Station presented kind of a challenge because it's different. Night Station is a different classification of unfinished project or unmanifest project. And so I figured I need to do something with this Night Station. I can't just say, oh, it's done. It's canceled. And it already was canceled. In fact, what is it, 2 years ago now, or sometime in 2021, right? By the way, today is, what is today? May 22nd. Monday, May 22nd, 2023. Yes, Monday, May 22nd, 2023. So that, you know, Night Station has been this presence in my creative life that is very weird. It's something that has felt very insistent. It's felt very massive in a way. But yeah, on that show I did in 2021, talking about a report on the continued non-existence of Night Station, where I described this bizarre project that has never really come into existence, yet has exerted this strong influence on me over the years. And also, which has been sort of taken so many different forms, right? And it's been this, there's been all these weird circumstances, such as when I got the domain name nightstation.com. It was a whole process, this whole weird process. It almost seemed like something that was meant to be, and yet it never was. And, you know, I've talked about this extensively on my show and stuff. You know, I thought, in a way, Night Station could be some kind of a counterweight for the Overnight Escape Underground. That is, the Overnight Escape Underground is something that is manifest, that has come into reality, and then sort of a mirror image below the manifestation line at this Night Station. It remains in as a potentiality, but never sort of rising above that line and becoming manifest, right? That's one theory I've had as to that it sort of has developed along sort of as a mirror image of the Overnight Escape Underground as a way of balancing it. And I know that concept is very vague and problematic in some ways, but that has certainly come to mind. And even some of the fictional aspects of Night Station, such as that it's this interdimensional railroad that enters new worlds by sort of infecting a person's mind in another world and making them fascinated with a concept and wanting to create it in their world, and how that sort of was a fictional concept, but also was like, hey, maybe that's what's happening to me. Maybe I've been infected by Night Station in this reality and have had this desire to manifest it. But anyway, so as I'm talking about it's I really very strongly want to reaffirm that my efforts are going towards the Overnightscape Underground, and that I really need to sort of cancel or discharge or get rid of all of these lurking projects in the back of my mind and on my mental to-do list, right? Night Station is not so easy to just say, oh, it's over, it's finished, right? It's sort of too massive and it's too big in a way to do that. So I figured it would be better to kind of transform it rather than try to chuck it in the trash, which I don't know how successful that would be. And I know this may come across as rather self-indulgent, sort of obsessing on my own creative life and stuff, but I hope you understand that, you know, this is all for the purpose of strengthening the Overnightscape Underground, right? I didn't want to just leave Night Station just sort of as this unfinished thing that was supposed to become something. I wanted to take it and transform it and allow it to manifest, but in a way that that's not taking away from the Overnightscape Underground. So, this project, Night Station Revival, is that project to transform the Overnightscape, I'm sorry, transform Night Station and make it something real. Bring it into manifestation in a controlled way. Is it like a controlled demolition? I don't know, perhaps. But it's not really a demolition. It's sort of satisfying Night Station's weight of potential, bringing it into something real, and then make it a manageable part of the Overnightscape Underground, right? This is my thinking. I know all of... I don't know. Is there any other example of something like this other people have had to deal with? This seems very strange. It really does. I admit that. But I think that as simply a series of audio shows, which this is the show, it's Night Station Revival, just by talking about the idea, sketching it out in a relaxed, casual way, this show is then the manifestation of Night Station, and then that is... will, from now on, be the sole, the only, and the final form of Night Station, right, is this show, Night Station Revival. The name itself is interesting because I forget when it was. It was a number of years ago. I actually created a document on Google Documents. I think first I had Weasel Village Mall Revival, and then Night Station Revival as these files where I was trying to collect all of the information, all of the aspects of it that I had sort of developed over the years into one file with the hope of doing something. I know that in the past I've considered, and I faced this exact question, what to do with Night Station, innumerable times over the past decade or so or more. And I thought of, you know, developing it into a series of science fiction novels, for example, or books. But at this point, I am not going to embark on writing a book of Night Station because that's far too much creative energy needed, right, that I need to focus on the Overnightscape Underground. So I think in this way, doing it as a sort of a relaxed audio piece, and you might say ramp fiction, that is a concept that I've had also that has never really manifested, that a type of storytelling that could just be in audio form, and not really super formal, but more akin to someone making up and telling a story. So using that form as opposed to the more structured and actual book form, I think, is more appropriate. Because this, what I'm doing right now, is pretty much the only form that makes sense to do it in. It's something that I can do without too much, sort of requiring too much effort and resources, because I've gone down that road trying to write books and stuff, and any creative project you get into, it can require just an enormous amount of personal resources to bring it to completion. And I found this form of just talking into the recorder as being less intense in that way, right? So Night Station Revival is reviving Night Station and sort of bringing it into fruition, into manifestation, and then that's it, right? This show on the Overnight Escape Underground called Night Station Revival is the final form of Night Station. Does this make any sense? I think it makes some sense to me. Because there's a lot of interesting ideas in there that I think are worth hearing about. If you're interested, I think some people might be interested in hearing about this and sketching it out, and then just kind of resolving the Night Station matter, I think is the big concern for me.
I love the background sounds of construction.
It almost reminds me of that song, was it Workshop from the Beach Boys' Smile, where you hear all these sounds of construction. But anyway, that's the idea of this project. So I would say that the central story of Night Station is this 1993 in this alternate version of this world, this Weasel Village Mall in Colts Neck, New Jersey, and the opening of the Night Station attraction and how it develops over time, its history, and then, of course, the legend of Night Station as this sort of interdimensional thing that jumps and travels from reality to reality. And so this idea incorporates Weasel Village Mall, which I think it predates Night Station as a concept. The original Weasel Village Mall was something I came up with as the title of one of my compilations of my music, my Little Frankie Nora music. It was a compilation cassette. It was called Welcome to the Weasel Village Mall. And at that time, the concept was just that it was this an endless shopping mall that went on forever. And interestingly, years later, I found out that there was one other instance of a Weasel Village in one of those Infocom text adventures. I think it was called Suspended, and there's this Weasel Village in there. I never played the game, so I don't know, but it came from, I think, the old tapes that my father recorded me and my brother and sister as kids. And he said something, and now Frankie Weasel will sing My Country Tis of Thee. And I think I was really influenced by Frankie Weasel, you know. Now, of course, another offshoot of that whole thing has the Three Weasels, me and my friends Peter and Brian, and we still get together and record as the Three Weasels. So it's sort of, the Weasel Village Mall has a similar origin story. Maybe all with my father's offhanded comment, just sort of this weird hyper, and now Frankie Weasel will sing My Country Tis of Thee. My country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. No, I think I said of thee I see, and my father's like, sing, sing. Land where my father died. Jeez, was that actually the lyric? Or my father's died, something like that. That's weird, because my father did die less than 2 weeks ago now. Anyway. I think that's the origin of it. And then over the years, I sort of developed the idea of the Weasel Village Mall to sort of embody, because I've always been a fan of shopping malls, living here in New Jersey, always loving to go to malls, not for shopping, but just for the atmosphere and the sort of indescribable aspect of those places, especially in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, that these were sort of like alternate realities in themselves. Like when you went to the mall, it was almost like you're visiting this alternate universe, this sort of self-contained world that had all these different stores and attractions, arcades, movie theaters, bookstores, you know, game stores, comic book stores, and bookstores, everything, right? So the Weasel Village Mall, in a way, sort of became an idea to create sort of the ultimate version of that type of shopping mall and that type of experience, and it kind of merged with the Night Station idea over the years, right? As the idea of the Night Station location would be inside the Weasel Village Mall. So that's why I really want to frame the whole Night Station thing and the Night Station revival thing, starting with this sort of central concept of where, like, sort of the most robust version of Night Station that I came up with was this particular scenario, which itself is just a fictional. So essentially, a fictional idea. Right. I was really fascinated by the idea of these two guys. And by the way, there's a lot of aspects of Night Station that were never really fully fleshed out. It's always remained kind of a sketchy concept. Definitely inspired by, you know, the early days of my Anything But Monday project with my fellow student Mad Mike, that we did a radio show called Anything But Monday, then we turned it into a magazine, and then we took the magazine national in the late 80s, and then the whole thing just fell apart. But the idea of two guys that have this concept and build this business together, right? So the idea would be these two guys were both fans of the Disney theme parks and those dark rides that you go on. And again, as I mentioned earlier, trying to take the dark ride to the next level. And this, of course, is in 1993. It's a year that I've been focusing a lot on lately, which is 30 years ago now, as it's 2023 now for me. What year is it for you? It could be a much later year. It could be an earlier year. Time travelers bringing their audio shows to the past? No. Listen to this construction noise as well. And so, as the story goes, these two guys, I should come up with names for them. Maybe I will eventually. They decided to, they got a little bit of money together, and they decided to build the first Night Station, which was not in the Weasel Village Mall, but was in a strip mall. It was in a space that was available, a small space, and they created, in a small space, without any, they weren't able to build a moving system like a train, a little train that you ride on, because that was sort of beyond their means, that the first strip mall version of Night Station involved building a small, so it would be in a strip mall, and you have the sign Night Station, you go in, and it would be the small waiting room, right, with the ticket booth, and then the single gate going into the night station for the ride. So the idea is that you would let maybe 20 people in, going through this doorway, and then getting onto a train car. So there would just be another room that was set up that it was the interior of a single passenger train car, right? And so people would be sitting, you know, probably, you know, there'd be an aisle in the middle, and to the left or right would be seats. So it would be there'd be two seats, and then the aisle, then another two seats, windows. And the idea is that there would be a video screen. So in 93, it would be basically based on video. It'd be a video projector in the front that would sort of be a first-person view of where you were going. Right, and that would be the main visual, and that would be created using various techniques, with a video camera, probably a VHS camcorder at that time, moving through different scenes, either building models and sets elsewhere to create the look of it, or even to the point of maybe using an actual, like, you know, model train set and mounting the camera on it and then having the train go through there to generate the videos, right? And then it would also have lighting effects outside the windows, which would be a sequence of lights that would sort of imply motion, right? And by using sound effects and then a sound system with subwoofers and stuff, which could... And I think some degree of theatrical smoke and stuff would create sort of the illusion that you were on a train ride. But the specific content of that is something I have not ever really defined. But in this, the strip mall manifestation of Night Station, the idea would be that there would be that portion where you get on the train and you go on a maybe a 5 minute ride at first, and then the train arrives. It says, now we're here at our destination, and then everyone would get off and go exit on the other side of the room that represents a train car, and there'd be another room which would represent the destination, right? And you'd go in there, and you would spend some time in this smaller space, right, which represented the place that you went, and there would be some sort of storyline going on there. There might be like a snack bar or vending machines, and you can hang out there for like 10 minutes. And then you're like, oh, okay, the train is leaving on the return trip, and you, and then there'd be the return trip, which would be a different, video and more of the same effects. And then eventually you'd get back to the, you'd arrive back at the station, and then people would get off, and that would be the complete ride. So it may have lasted about maybe like a half hour, something like that. And even then, there could be, it would have incorporated the different, slight differences. So no two rides are exactly the same, right? I know that would be kind of hard with the actual, the videos, but there could be a number of slightly different videos, right? Of the actual ride. And then I'm thinking that the destination, there would be at least two different destinations, right? So sometimes you'd go to destination A and sometimes you'd go to destination B, each of which would just be a room. So the idea is that each trip is slightly different. So then this strip mall version of Night Station becomes relatively successful. They make a little bit of money and they find investors, and they decide... They find that there's a space available in the Weasel Village Mall, and they decide to build Night Station in the Weasel Village Mall. And I think that the idea is that there's a new extension or new expansion at the mall that they get involved with, so they can actually build. So this new version, first and foremost, would involve actual little trains that travel through the various scenes and stuff. So having that, and because that section of the mall was under construction, that they were able to sort of incorporate their train tracks beyond just one self-contained space, but actually, for example, you may emerge from a tunnel and... beyond, the train will go like around the food court, right? So people could actually see the Night Station trains like sort of one level above in the food court, you know, moving around. Then you'd go back in the tunnel and go back into the Night Station system. That it'd be sort of incorporated into the mall. And that's sort of how they would conceive of it, right? So that it would be not just a self-contained thing, but it actually be sort of incorporated into the space itself of the actual larger Weasel Village Mall. And perhaps there would even be future expansions where the Night Station trains would go further through the mall to other places, even maybe having satellite offices of Night Station in the mall, right? Different parts of the mall. So that's sort of the basic idea of this version of Night Station. And I think the idea was that this story could have been written as a book, right? As a science fiction story, or as a novel made into a movie or a TV show, or built as, you know, in a sort of a metaverse. And I think that's one of the things I was really thinking about, is that there could be, you know, in the future, there would be a metaverse, because we still don't have a good metaverse in 2023, that it would, the entirety of the Weasel Village Mall, including Night Station, could just be created as a virtual reality experience. So this is stuff I had been considering, right? That's why this idea is so, it's just, it really is somewhat mind-boggling. It's so sort of huge and has so many aspects to it. That's why I can't just sort of shut it off. You know, that's why I'm doing it this way. Now, of course, this one I'm describing is just one of many of the ideas I've had for Night Station over the years. And as I mentioned, I think that the idea that Night Station is this sort of something that exists across all realities, I think that part of the story would be the investigation of where did this idea for Night Station come from? And these characters kind of researching, like finding old, obscure, like fairy tales from like Europe, and then they'd find references to this something like a train station that arrives inside these fairy tales, right? And finding that like Night Station sort of exists throughout all times and all places, right? And the sort of like the research of that. And that kind of relates to the Weasel Village Mall itself, which the idea was that the Weasel Village Mall also exists. Versions of it exist across multiple alternate realities. In fact, I did write one story where someone that was investigating the multidimensional aspect of the Weasel Village Mall wound up going through some strange back corridors and wound up emerging in our reality. But they sort of, by necessity, there is no Weasel Village Mall in this reality, so they sort of emerged at the closest shopping mall that exists in this reality, in which case it's the Freehold Raceway Mall in Freehold, New Jersey, which does exist. Right, it got to that point that the story was got so big that it sort of related our reality to the Weasel Village Mall reality and then all of the potential alternate versions, because there was the version I'm talking about is something that was something that could have existed in our world. But then there's another version of the Weasel Village Mall, which is a bit more surreal in some ways. Like there's this, it's by the side of this like giant mountain or hill, and there's all these tunnels, and there's this a college called Snake Allen College, like sort of on the other side of the mountain, and the college students could just like wander through these weird corridors and go to that version of the Weasel Village Mall, the more like weird version of the Weasel Village Mall. And of course, the history of the Weasel Village Mall, which does start with a pet store that sold ferrets as pets, and they called them weasels, and they created this whole weasel village as sort of the central attraction of their pet store. And that business itself is what eventually led to, in the same space, the same area, the Weasel Village Mall. It sort of was an expansion of the pet store that eventually led to the full-blown mall, right? So, on the Night Station side, it started, I would say, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. You know, I was always thinking about my project, my audio project, my podcasting internet radio project of the Overnightscape and then the Overnightscape Underground. How could I continue to develop it and expand it? So I always, you know, the basic concept is of nighttime radio, and that's where the idea of the Overnightscape came from, specifically Gene Shepherd, who was on New York radio from the mid-50s to the mid-70s, doing this monologue show, which completely inspired the Overnightscape. And I love the idea, this name Night Station, sort of a night radio station. And I thought of the name, and then I looked at nightstation.com, and it was a porno website from, like, the Netherlands or something. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I can't have nightstation.com because it's this porno site. But then at some point around 2011-ish, I'd have to look at the actual years, this is now real. I know I'm sort of mixing fictional and reality, but it just sort of goes to show the multifarious nature of Night Station. That I noticed that the porno website nightstation.com, which I think is still viewable in the Internet Archive if you really must, I would check it from time to time, and I noticed that it went offline. It was gone. I'm like, wow, it's no longer there. It's just this, whoever owned it must have shut it down. And I'm like, well, at that point, I got nightstation.org and nightstation.net, right? At one point, those were the big three, .com, .org, and .net. There's infinitely more TLDs or top-level domains now. So I got those, and I actually started it as nightstation.org, I believe. And I decided to create it as an audio project where we would record these long patches, as I called them, of audio, somewhere around 8 hours long each, with the idea that it would be this what I called virtual live show, so that one of the hallmarks of it was that it would be on a streaming as opposed to podcasting. So like podcasting is a file that you download and listen to, but streaming is a live streaming station, right? That Night Station would be a live streaming station that you could listen to. But since it was beyond our means at the time to have people recording 24 hours a day, we did this virtual live thing where the idea was that though it's pre-recorded, it's like you're patching in and connecting realities. So it's live, like in a virtual sense, right? And then I thought that as someone was listening to Night Station, for them to be able to, because then the actual file downloads would also be available. And there was this idea of the word on the wall. And this was actually, we actually did this for a few months. We actually did Night Station in this way for a few months in like 2012, I think. So that, you know, there'd be the hosting level. Like I'd say, hey, welcome to Night Station. The word on the wall is kitchenette. You know, it'd be a word, a single word. And then, so if you were listening to Night Station and you remember the word, then you could later go and find the recording of it, right? So that it wouldn't be the case where you heard it and we were never able to find, like, where that recording was. So I set this up. I did do this. This is in the real world here. I did do that Night Station, and it was me and PQ and Shambles and a few others that recorded patches for Night Station, and I set them up to play on this streaming station. And I think after a few months, I realized that it just was not working. First of all, the idea is that unlike podcasting, which is a file download that can be implemented on the cheap, that streaming, the more people that are listening, the more it costs, right? The more concurrent streams that you're using, the more it's going to cost. So as our project was really a hallmark of it is to be non-commercial, right? That it's not something that money is involved with. It's a non-commercial project that the streaming aspect almost sort of demanded a commercial aspect, because the more popular it got, the more it would cost. And the idea is that we can do a non-commercial project in the Overnight Skip Underground because it's cheap and we've all kept our day jobs and it's our hobby. But the idea is that something that's streaming would have this increasing demand for money. And that was one part of it. And also I just sort of felt that the experience of listening to it was just not, it just wasn't really working, right? So I did shut it down. But I think that the ideas that we developed in that original Night Station eventually led to, for example, The Other Side on the Overnightscape and many other things. So I think it really, and recently PQ did actually bring back the patch concept, which I think is fine as an individual concept. It's just that it was that first Night Station was tied to, a streaming station, right? Which that was sort of the fatal flaw in the whole thing as a non-commercial project. I do still kind of like the idea of the patches, but I feel like I really did, starting in 2013, kind of distill down those concepts with my show, The Overnightscape, where I spend the first part of the show doing my monologue portion, and then we go to the other side, which has all of the music and clips of old commercials and things, old cartoons, right? So I sort of took the Night Station concept and sort of distilled it down and made it into The Overnightscape. And then many of the other hosts on The Overnightscape Underground, which is still going and still continuing on to this day, I think those ideas have really been implemented in various ways in various shows. So that version of Night Station kind of shut down and was no longer something that was it was no longer an active project, right? And it was just so weird because the part I sort of skipped over was that kind of after that, further into 2012 or 2013, the domain name nightstation.com actually came on the market. It was being sold. And I was able to buy it on an internet auction for, I don't know, it's like $400 or something. I bought nightstation.com. So though the project was finished, I figured it still seemed to have so much potential. It was such a great name. I now had nightstation.org, .com, and .net. And it wasn't too long before I used the name for a very different project. Night Station VR, right? Night Station VR was my virtual reality project. I have always been interested in virtual reality and creating virtual worlds. In fact, my, in terms of my creative projects, I had, my early mini comics that I did on photocopies called Half Evil Graphics, and there was the Anything But Monday magazine and radio show. And then I kind of developed that into something called Nomadi, which was this multifaceted entertainment concept that had all these different divisions for videos and games and audio and a record label and publishing. And that was more late 80s, early 90s, and late 80s, basically. And it sort of was incredibly unrealistic, but it was something I put together at the time. And then after the Anything But Monday thing collapsed, I started most of the 90s. I had Oblivion, a Super Occult Amusement, which was based on the number 209. And it almost was like, looking back, almost like I was almost starting a cult with it. Luckily, that didn't happen. But it was, the main form of it was an e-zine. It was a text. And in fact, I had a website, Obliviana.com, I believe as early as 1994. So I was had a real early web presence, which had the text e-zine, Osoa Week, the weekly e-zine of Obliviana Super Occult Amusement. And that was like my main project moving through the 90s. And then in 1999, on November 19th, 1999, in fact, the last odd day, as we call it, because 11191999, November 19th, 1999, right? Every digit in that date, as you represent it, 11/19/1999. I know they do it in a different order in different countries, but here in the U.S. we do month, day, and year, right? So 11/19/1999, all odd digits, right? And that was the last time that would happen until January 1st, 3111. So thousands of years in the future is the next time there would be all odd numbers. It was the last odd day. And when I came up with this idea of bluffcosm.com. I really love the phrase bluffcosm. So I registered the domain name and started the website, and it was originally going to be a virtual world, like a metaverse. So it was going to be a virtual reality project. And then a few months later, in March of 2000, I shifted it to be an audio project because there was a website called mp3.com that allowed you to upload MP3 files, and they would host them for free, mostly for music. But I was using it for these, you know, spoken word pieces and weird little audio features that I called Bluff Tunes. It was at a time where the storage associated with a web account would be something in the range of 10 or 20 megabytes, which gave you a decent amount of text, but anything, and a few images, but anything like audio takes up a lot more space on the disk. So I started, so that's bluffcosm.com, which eventually led to the OvernightScape a few years later. So interestingly, that project started as a virtual reality project. So when Oculus came about, remember Palmer Luckey and Oculus? It was sort of a cheaper way of these headsets that you could create virtual reality content for. And I was using Unity, the authoring program. So in late 2013, I decided to make a NightStation VR as a project to create a dark ride in virtual reality, right? As a VR concept. And it was something that I actually built a demo, and in early 2014 went out to Silicon Valley. Again, this is in the real world. This is not fictional. And attended the first consumer VR expo there in Mountain View, California. And I actually had a space, and I had a demo, and people could, and I built this dark ride of NightStation. In fact, the file for that you can run on a PC is in the archive. It's available. In 2D, I made a 2D version that didn't require a headset eventually. But anyway, I realized, though I achieved all that I really didn't have the wherewithal. I didn't have the connections, the business sense, etc., to keep going with this project. So I remember at the airport in San Francisco on the way home, I decided that I'd have to sort of let it go. And again, NightStation just sort of became non-manifest, that there was nothing there. But I continued to develop the idea sort of as a VR business, the idea that in a metaverse, right, that NightStation would be a kind of become like a railroad system in a metaverse, right? So the idea is that in all the different cities and shopping malls and areas of this metaverse, there would be, NightStation would exist as a business that could be in a shopping mall, could be in a building on a street, or could be in a strip mall, or, right? They'd be relatively small, each one. And the idea is that you would go in and ride a NightStation train and have this visually rich, complex experience, very similar to the fictional concept I was talking about earlier, where you would, each ride would be a little bit different, and it would be very similar to what I described. But the difference is that you could also, this could was also could be used as a transportation system. You could actually take NightStation from one location to another, all the way across this virtual world, right? And the idea was that it would be something that could be funded through sponsorships. That is, let's say there's a game or a new attraction in the metaverse. The actual NightStation trains could actually move through the game. You could watch people playing the game, and it would be a way of promoting the games. So the idea is that you're almost like you're taking this incredible ride, and part of it are the equivalent of sort of advertisements or sponsorships. And also, if someone opened a new world within the metaverse, having a NightStation there would increase your foot traffic, right? It would bring people there. So I thought that the idea of NightStation as a metaverse railroad had really great commercial potential, right? And I was even thinking along the lines that, you know, NightStation can go anywhere, kind of like the original concept of that NightStation is this sort of interdimensional railroad that can go anywhere, that it could, you could go through any kind of space. Like I remember there was sort of like a doctor's office, and imagine the NightStation train just comes through here. You can look at the waiting room and stuff. Or another part that I thought was really interesting was that you could actually build a miniature version of Night Station in the of Night Station trains in the real world, right? And so imagine a, you know, sort of maybe an O scale train, you know, sort of like the Lionel trains, that scale. You could install that in the real world anywhere. And so when you're in VR, right, you pass through a tunnel and then an actual physical model train, you're actually on that train. And it could even be the point that there could be these little cameras inside the train that would track your head movement, right? So you'd be sort of miniaturized anywhere in the world. And you could, these little motorized cameras that would, again, would match up to your head movement. You could actually look around as if you're really in there. The idea was that Night Station was this train ride that would sort of span the virtual and the real and so many different things, right? So I thought it had a great amount of potential, but it was way ahead of its time as a concept because we're talking about nearly 10 years ago now. I remember giving a talk at the VR meetup there at the Microsoft building across from the Port Authority bus terminal. You know, they had the VR meetups. And my subject was how I created my demo without really having to do any coding using Unity. But I also brought a magazine. I think it was actually from 93, Virtual Reality Report. And I'm like, I was showing everyone, well, here's from 1993. It says VR is finally here. And as we know, it really wasn't. So I'm like, everyone was convinced in 2013 and 2014 that VR was finally here. And I'm like, we've gone through this several times before. Maybe it's not already here. And I think in retrospect, it's 10 years later, it really has not arrived in that way. Because what we're missing is the metaverse, right? I think, you know, I was an early adopter of Second Life, which was an actual metaverse. And I had that famous story of how I accidentally burned down Neverland. And that was early on in, what was it, in 2008 or 2009 or something. But I definitely anticipated that one of the big tech companies, like Google, Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, etc., would race to be the first to implement the metaverse, right? And it would be the new internet. And as we've now seen in recent years, Facebook, which bought Oculus, has been attempting and investing huge amounts of money to create the metaverse, but seemingly to no avail. As such an enormous corporation, they've been spending billions on the problem and don't really seem to have anything of it. I know that they have something called Active Worlds or some Leisure Worlds. I forget actually what it was called, but it looked, I never even tried it out. It looks just horrible and not really well implemented. The idea of a true robust metaverse would be like Second Life, a place where a contiguous world, not like a series of apps, but one enormous world, which is what Second Life was, where anyone could pay a price to buy land and then build their own stuff there. And right, it would be sort of a contiguous experience. So essentially, a much modernized version of Second Life. Now, as things happened, there is an open source version that's based on the old Second Life called OpenSim or something like that, that allowed anyone to build their own worlds on their own servers, right? The problem is that, and I've played around with that, and it's just that the technology is so old, it's not well implemented. It's old, it's clunky, and it's crummy. And that open source side had a small community, but it's never really taken off. There was a site, maybe still, called, was it called Metaverse Business or Hypergrid Business, I think is what it was called. And I've been following that as well, and that just kind of never rose to the occasion. So I thought if you had the resources of one of these huge companies to build a true robust metaverse, it would really satisfy this vision that I think me and so many other people had. But it just seems that Facebook, which was at the forefront of this, all of the news stories were, they invested billions and failed. The metaverse is a failure, right? So it seems like it's almost finished before it even started. So in a way, I'm glad I kind of didn't invest more of my resources into that at the time, right? And with the rise of, remember Google Stadia and the game streaming services, where they can have a server somewhere that's rendering the images. You know, usually when you're playing a 3D computer game, your personal computer or your device, your console, what have you, is doing the heavy lifting and the rendering of all the 3D objects. But game streaming, Stadia, for example, Google Stadia, which has since shut down, they run the game on a server and they just send you a video stream of the output, right? And then you have an input device, a controller, that sends the signals back to that server. And as it happens, it's all fast enough with our modern technology that you're able to play games streaming as opposed to having a device yourself. And I thought, wow, this is absolutely the mechanism by which the metaverse can be implemented, which is that it's only limited by the amount of server capacity on the back end to create beautiful, richly rendered 3D worlds that you can then explore using a headset or even just on a flat screen or perhaps in a room in your house that has video projected on all the walls and ceiling and floor, right? All of these things that I thought were related to the metaverse, it does seem that there's something preventing this from being implemented. Kind of a similar theme, these great potentials that are just not implemented, not manifest. So you might say that Night Station itself as this rich set of ideas that just never materialized, and then the metaverse as this rich set of ideas that has never materialized thus far. I know it's possible, but it just seems there's something preventing it. Now, I know there's a couple ways of looking at this. I've definitely thought about it, that it's some sort of conspiracy where the goal is the desire of those in control of the world, those shadowy cabals, Illuminatis, what have you, that don't want there to be a metaverse for whatever reason. In a way, one of the quotes from Mr. Palmer Luckey, the young guy that put it the first thing together. And by the way, he walked right by my demo, and then he had to leave. So he didn't do my demo. Anyway, that he said in one of like the keynote speeches at the VR Expo, he's like, well, you know, virtual reality has such great potential. People around the world living in squalor and poverty can use VR and they can experience living in a beautiful place and living in a beautiful city, and it's all virtual. Even though they're still their life is shit, they can actually enjoy life more living in virtual reality, right? And I felt that was kind of a jerky thing to say, and kind of like, well, why? So that's the idea, like let everyone's life be shit and then give them virtual reality goggles so they can like tolerate life. But maybe that concept that if people, like how do you motivate people? You motivate people by resource restriction, right? Like money is one of those resources. Like, yo, you need to work and do what we say to get money to the things you want. If everyone could just go into virtual reality, maybe it'd be harder to control people. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is that it just is, you know, by its very nature, the metaverse is just too complex an engineering task for even the biggest corporations to achieve now. But that thought is really challenged by a small company, Linden Labs, that created Second Life, and Second Life is still going, by the way, to some extent, they were able to do it with small amount of resources fairly well at the time, a long time ago. So it doesn't really make sense that a Facebook really couldn't figure it out. Anyway, it's just a lot of different... We know that we don't have a metaverse right now for whatever reason. But I felt my Night Station concept was just assumed the existence of a robust metaverse that has thus far not come into existence. It's all about these big ideas that are not coming into existence. Yes. Anyway, back to, the current situation, which is that this project, which has manifested and is real, and I think is something that is of enormous, has enormous richness of content, the Over Nightscape Underground, right? An archive of over 13,000 hours of audio is something that is real and is something that I need to devote all of my spare time and efforts as on a hobby level to make sure it is ready to be launched into the far future by the time I'm no longer here, right? So I think that because of that, and because also it is non-commercial, and I think it being non-commercial is an important aspect of its nature, right? I'm talking about the Over Nightscape Underground, that it gives it a kind of a flexibility and a kind of an aspect that frees it from a lot of the commercial restrictions. So I feel like at this point in my life, I have this amazing, wonderful project that does need a huge amount of there's a huge amount of effort to maintain it and to take it to the next level, that I do need to abandon any of these other aspirations, as I keep saying. And so I think that it does seem, talking about it here, that Night Station still has all this commercial potential, but I do not want to shift my focus to that, because it would just be to the anything I would do in that regard, that is creating a commercial business related to Night Station, would be to the detriment of the Over Nightscape Underground. And at this point, the Over Nightscape Underground has become a very important mission, not in theory, but in fact. This archive, this set of shows is existent. It is here now, and it is amazing and wonderful and huge. And I don't want to do anything to jeopardize that or to take away from my efforts on that, right? So when I'm talking about all these ideas, again, it's for the purpose of transforming Night Station into this form as just a series of shows called Night Station Revival, and then sort of as it is too big in a way to just say it's over, it needs to be transformed into a series of descriptions and explorations as this show, which is a non-commercial show like all the other shows on the Over Nightscape Underground. And I hope this all makes sense. If I take a step back, as I mentioned earlier, it is a really rather strange, bizarre circumstance I find myself in with this thing. But I think this is the best way of dealing with Night Station, so to speak, right? So to reiterate, this show, this audio show, here on the Over Nightscape Underground, called Night Station Revival, is the final form of Night Station. It is not a way for me to develop the idea so it can go to the next level. This is the final form. And I do anticipate continuing this project with additional episodes, delving into various aspects of Night Station and all of what I have put into it. I think I might actually play the clips from the various shows on this show to kind of preserve all Night Station related stuff in one place, so to speak. Hey, it's a little bit later now, back outside. So there are, I realize there are some more aspects to Night Station that I haven't covered yet. See, the more I think about it, the more aspects come up. So I did an episode of The Overnight Escape a number of years ago called Audio Worlders. And it sketched out this concept of kind of a metaverse, but in an audio form, right? So the idea was, and then it also had another aspect of similar to in my failed science fiction novel, Severe Repair. There was a company called Hull New Media that it was an early internet like TV station. This is fictional, by the way, and that was producing a essentially like a sort of a sci-fi fantasy soap opera kind of show. They would produce one episode per day and air it online, but they decided that they would have a robust ecosystem of behind-the-scenes stuff, too. So whereas there was the main show that was produced, a content that was like the making of the show would be also done as video features. And the individual people, the actors, the technicians, the directors, like they would do features, they would like go out outside the building and walk around the building or go back to their house, what's in your refrigerator. They would do things like that. And it was this kind of to take advantage of all of the entertainment potentials, not just the product itself, but the behind-the-scenes stuff. That I always thought was such an interesting idea. And in fact, in recent years I've gotten a bit into K-pop. And in K-pop, they do that very thing. They do endless behind-the-scenes, in-progress, rehearsals, and going back to someone's house and things like that. So it's interesting. When you have an entertainment production environment, the actual aspects of the production itself become an interesting subject for video content as well. So Audio Worlders specifically was the idea of creating a virtual audio world, right, where there were all these different locations, and the idea is that at all times in this world, audio is being recorded, right? The idea is that there was going to be a kind of a similar idea to Hull New Media, there was going to be kind of a soap opera type daily show being produced, right? And they would actually, it would actually be set in this world, and the actual recording would have the voice actors and stuff in these various places in the virtual world. But the idea was that you could essentially time travel back in time to any moment in this world and listen in on what was going on. And everyone would know this from the beginning of the whole project, that this stuff is meant to be recorded and people will listen. So, for example, if it's 2 years later and you hear them producing this scene in this castle in the audio world, you could actually go back in time to when they produced it and you could hear the entire day of the preparations and rehearsals and the actual production itself, all the different takes. It would be this fully featured audio world, right? And that was an interesting idea I came up with that I believe at some point I was thinking of Night Station perhaps being something like that, right? To be like this. When we get back to it, I have actually thought a few times of Night Station being or back to being a radio station. And then there's a whole range of ideas where I attempted to merge in the idea of a radio station with a train station, right? Where the backdrop would be you're in this kind of virtual train station and the radio station is inside the train station, and even the various train rides and stuff, you could go on them and record while you're on the train rides and things like that. And even to the point that a very recent idea that I came up with for the Overnightscape Underground, which is a radio station inside a book, is I synthesized in some of the night station aspects into that, which is something I am considering making into an actual project. The idea of the radio station inside the book, no longer as a train station, but simply as a space that is similar to the size of a store in a mall or a strip mall. Again, very inspired by Night Station. And I did talk about this on one of the anniversary episodes as an important vision moving forward with the main project, that it would be something akin to a video store, like a Blockbuster. But instead of videos, there would be cases representing all the different shows of the almost over 11,000 episodes and over 13,000 hours of material would be collected in these essentially rectangular boxes. Is set up kind of like a video store. And the idea is that you could take a box into a listening room, right, and listen to it, and the listening rooms would have video projections that you could watch while you're listening to sort of enhance your listening experience. That's the whole fooning concept of doing something while you're listening, right? In this case, it would be listening rooms with different video programs. One thing I like, you know, I like to watch videos of people walking around like Tokyo at night while I'm listening to something. That produces, it makes the entire experience of listening a bit different. So I think like these rooms would sort of create these environments. It would probably have like sort of video screens on all the walls, and it could be in a city at night, on a beach, you know, and at the top of a skyscraper. It could be all on a boat. It could be all different kind of environments. So you would just type in the environment you wanted and then stick in the cartridge, whatever it was, and listen to the show. So that virtual radio station concept, which is something I still am thinking of implementing as the radio station inside a book, right, in a virtual reality sense, making it as simple as possible, but no simpler, right? I think that was a quote by Albert Einstein, make things as simple as possible, but no simpler. Let's test. Test? Sorry. I hit pause there for a second. What's going on here? One moment. And it's related, but it's kind of different. A concept I called Universal Night Audio Unit. An idea that has sort of been another one of those ideas that I do believe was a potential manifestation of Night Station. The idea of essentially like a never-ending broadcast where, and this is actually very much related to the original Night Station, right? This, in fact, was an evolution of the original Night Station idea, actually. Right, so the original Night Station were these like 8-hour pieces of audio that had all sorts, you know, a host and then all sorts of audio content and a hosting level. The idea of a Universal Night Audio Unit would be to take that idea of a being of creating these sections of a broadcast, right, that you could then play in any sequence, right, and simplifying it, but to make it as simple as it needs to be, but no simpler, right? The idea of a holon, H-O-L-O-N, holon, that each thing would be a self-contained, but also sort of represent the whole. So each audio unit, which might be 20 minutes long, let's say, would involve a host speaking at a hosting level, presenting content, and giving a station identification, like this is whatever the name it was. So in the case, if it was Night Station, this is Night Station, right? It would be a set. So each one of these 20-minute segments would be created such that, right, any number of these different recordings could be strung together to form a longer broadcast, right? And it would be appropriate for playing on an audio stream, right? similar to the original Night Station, or downloading and listening on your own personal device, right? Or even each segment could exist and be played within some other show. Someone could be playing a show. Oh, here's a Night Station segment, and play that. And its universality would also include the content not having any, you know, curse words or forbidden, you know, like offensive topics, things like that. So it would be appropriate for any audience, though not geared towards children per se. It would be something that a child could hear and not be offended by, right? And also in terms of the copyright, using a particular Creative Commons license, probably attribution or attribution share alike or one of those, it would be like this universal unit, and you could create any number of these, and it would be this super flexible system. So it's interesting. That was another aspect of Night Station that I was developing, completely in a different direction from the fictional stuff or the virtual reality stuff or any of the other stuff, right? But, you know, as I worked through the idea, I realized that part of the concept was, in its universality, was that anyone could create these segments. But at the same time, I was imagining the segments containing a certain type of content in my vision for the thing. Once you open it up to anyone doing it, you lose control over the content itself, and it could quickly sort of get out of control, and who knows what it would be used for. And I feel that what we have in the Overnightscape already is a robust system where creators are creating audio shows, but currently everyone sets their own formats and their own they have control of their own show. They don't have to follow these restrictions. And I think that it's an interesting idea as a thought experiment, I don't think that it has a great deal of potential as an actual project. It would be something completely different. But that's another implementation of Night Station that I had conceived of. But I think that, as I've been saying, I think that Night Station as this series of ideas and concepts, whereas it itself has never been implemented, has informed and influenced the Overnightscape Underground in enormous ways, right? And that sort of goes to Night Station being this sort of companion creative thing to the Overnightscape Underground itself. It's this thing sort of under the surface, a playground of ideas, perhaps, that has influenced and informed and essentially a support system for the Overnightscape Underground in a strange way. Yeah. And one thing I realized a while back was that the format we have, the genre that we have, is just of individual people talking, usually on their own, in a monologue sense. And that is truly the most, is at the core value, the core essence of the Overnightscape Underground, this exact format, which again is very much influenced by Gene Shepherd and his radio show. And that all of these other ideas of the containers in which these audio monologues are in, for example, the need for a format or a container is only in service of the essence, the core idea of these freeform monologues, right? And so the system we have in the Overnightscape Underground currently, individual shows, right? Individual episodes of shows, works well as a format, and it's been long time tested. And so whereas I've had the creative urge to invent new containers, the container is not the value. It is the content that's the value, and the content has containers as it is in our current format that are working perfectly fine. And so I think that any push to implement new containers is only to the detriment of the system as it is now, right? So what I'm trying to say. I came to that realization a while ago. But as I've been saying, and I'll continue to say, the Open Nightscape Underground is the project. It is real. It is huge and robust and wonderful and continuing forward. We're constantly creating more content for it. And in a way, the proof is in the, right? It's longevity and it's longevity. How do you say it? Longevity? Right? It's working as it is. And I do think these side ideas have been very helpful in implementing it. But it's almost sort of like in the end, this entire process, coming up with all these ideas and all these side concepts, it has resulted in the Open Nightscape Underground. And as I mentioned, its non-commerciality is sort of a hallmark feature of it. And it's interesting, the same, if you want to see, the sort of deep down creative urge that has resulted in the Over Nightscape Underground has also resulted in all these side projects in turn, sort of all categorized under the, you know, under this Night Station banner, which, while I find them fascinating, at this point, as I've been saying, I have to say and declare and make clear that these things are all no longer on the track to manifestation. They are going to wind up here in this show as descriptions, and that's it. And right, this then becomes a part of the Over Nightscape Underground. And so I sort of see this as a bit of a, I don't know if you call this a turning point or this is a moment where I'm just sort of came to the realization that there's limited time left and I need to focus on the thing that is real, and the stuff that is potential is now in the form of this audio show. I don't know if it makes total sense, but I do feel weird about doing this show, Night Station Revival. It feels kind of different than anything I've ever done before, and but in the moment it feels necessary. So anyway, there you go, the first episode of Night Station Revival. I'm going to continue on with this series with more episodes, delving deeper into the various streams and strands and avenues of Night Station concepts. In this Night Station's final form, Night Station Revival.